It's good to see you, and some of you are actually smiling. Well, that's better. Great. It's good to see you. And, well, we're sorry that our commanding officer's husband, I got that the right way around, didn't I? Yeah, commanding officer's husband. But in the moment, I'm sure Katrina will tell you, Dave's having a difficult time at the moment, and we could pray for him. So we'll leave that to Katrina. I'll tell you the good news, and that is that tea and coffee will be served in the community hall for every one of you who likes to join us there. There will be an open air at 12:05 on the triangle, and we would like your support if you'd like to come up and join with us there. I believe there is a prayer meeting tonight. Is there? Yes, at 5:30, and it's a Zoom prayer meeting, and I think there's details on the board from last week. So please join in the prayers at 5:30. The food bank will be open just on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. It will be closed on Thursday and Friday. On Wednesday, Friends Together will meet at 1:30. There's no band or songster rehearsals this coming week. You may have heard that the Queen's got a special event on coming up, and we'd like you to come along and bring Marmite sandwiches or peanut butter sandwiches to next Sunday. Following our worship here, those who would like to bring a picnic, and we'll go and celebrate the Queen in that real good style after the meeting. So if you have changed your mind or you didn't know anything about it, there's a notice and a list on the board. If you just add your name, then we'll have a pretty good idea who's coming. Can I remind you, if you're not coming to the picnic, that this road here from the roundabout will be closed, and the whole of the high street, the main road, will be closed. So get into the car park if you've got a car. You may have to use a sat-nav to find your way to the car park. So some of these roads here are going to be closed for celebration, so just bear that in mind. Thank you very much for listening. Before I hand over to Katrina, Angela and Lorraine would like to thank you for all your love, prayers and cards on the promotion to glory of Ray. Thanks to the band and to Jackie and Andy for helping at the celebration service. It was a great service. It was a good send-off for him. Hallelujah. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, John. Am I on? Can you hear me? No, a bit louder. Or I'll have to shout to make myself be known. Yes, it's lovely to be here with you this morning. Sorry that David's not here. He does give his apologies. He's had this virus now that he's got for the last fortnight. It's not going away. He did manage to come here on Friday, and since then he's been flat out at home. So please keep him in your thoughts and in your prayers, and hopefully he'll be able to be back with us shortly. But our opening song is Stand Up and Bless the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that we can bless the Lord, that we can stand here? Stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of his choice. Stand up, but Jesus, and let your first with heart and soul and voice. So let's rise and we'll sing the first three verses, please, Kevin. Thank you. Thank you. And as we sung in that third verse, Oh for the Living Flame, recognising that this past Thursday was the day when we thought about ascension, the fact that Jesus left earth and went to heaven in order for his, and he told his disciples to wait. And yes, next Sunday is the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, but it's also the birth of the church, for next week is Pentecost. the day when the disciples were told to wait for that living flame to come and to fall upon them. And the fourth verse says, God is our strength and his salvation ours, then be his love in Christ proclaimed with all our ransomed powers. Let's sing verses 4 and 5, please. Thank you. Please be seated. And what our start to our worship this morning, recognising that he is Lord. Well, I don't know about where God was in all this planning. I don't know whether, I think God does have a sense of humour. Because as we were, as you may know, David and I, we actually plan plan preaching a few weeks beforehand of what we're going to, who's going to do what, and it was actually my sermon here today anyway. And the verse that we're going to be looking at is all about God is in the silence. He's in the silence. And one thing I am not is silent. In fact, I hate silence. I'm one of those that if there's a silence, then I feel I need to fill it in some way. I don't know what it is, but I always feel as though I need to fill that silence. But we're thinking this morning about Elijah, but we're also thinking about Psalm 46 and verse 10, where it says, be still, and know that I am God. I just want you to listen as Psalm 46 is brought to us on the screen.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we won't be afraid. Though the earth changes, though the mountains are shaken into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains tremble with their swelling. There is a river, the streams of which make the city of God glad, the holy place of the tents of the Most High. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. God will help her at dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He lifted his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, see the Lord's works, what desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Be still and know that I am God. We live in a world where there is a lot of noise. An experiment was done a few years ago where somebody went out 50 years ago and captured the songbirds singing, and they could get quite a long session of just hearing the birds to sing. Nowadays you go out and they can get very little where just the songbirds, because we've got traffic, we've got movement, we've got lots of noise going on. As Christians, how do we be still and know that I am God? You've been given a sheet as you came in this morning. I'm not going to read it through. This is for you to take away. This is for you to contemplate on in this coming week. Because maybe today isn't the time when you're going to be able to be silent and be still. But maybe during the week you will have opportunity to be still and know that he is God. Be still and know. Be free to be. Be still and yet moved by the Spirit. Be still and know and yet content not to know what God has yet revealed. Be still and know that he is God in all things. And he is God over you. We're just going to sing a few words of a song. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Are we panting? Are we really desiring to be in God's presence? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
as the deer pants for the water. Thirsting. How thirsty are we today to know God, to be in his presence. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we're able to set aside this time to be in your house, to be with fellow believers, to be able to fellowship and worship and give the glory to you. But Lord, we also are mindful that we need times when we need to just be still in your presence. When we leave this place, we need to be still. Because you, Lord, know what we need to face each week. You know the conversations that we're going to have. You know the joys, but also the challenges. And Lord, sometimes we need to stop and be still. Sometimes we're very good at being busy and full of activity. But Lord, we just need to take those times to be still. Be still. You're our friend and you are our brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. So Lord, as we've set aside this time, speak to each and every one of us today. May we just quieten out the rest of the noise in order to enable us to hear your voice today. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Our Bible reading is taken this morning. It's taken from 1 Kings chapter 19, and it's the first 18 verses. To put this into some context, this is Elijah. There's been a drought in the area, and Elijah was called upon. The people were following Baal, the other lots of other gods, but Elijah was being true to God. And this is where it's just after the prophets of Baal have tried to call on their gods to bring down and to burn the altar, and that nothing happened. But when Elijah called on God, the fire fell, and everything, and the sacrifice was consumed. But then, after that experience that Elijah had been through, this mountaintop experience where actually God had won and he'd shown other people that God was the God to be followed. But we see that actually in 1 Kings chapter 19, that actually Ahab runs away. He was on that mountaintop. He had that experience. But then suddenly he came down, and we pick up. When Ahab had got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he'd killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness. Traveling all day, he sat down under a solitary tree and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." Then he lay down and slept under the tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And there he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Go out, stand before me on the mountains," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. A mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice of the Lord said again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go back. Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshah, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him." We'll come back to that reading a bit later on in our meeting, but now we're going to listen to the message that the songsters have prepared, and they're going to sing a song, God and God alone. Thank you. God. God alone deserves the truest praise. And I'm sure that's how maybe Elijah felt after he just defeated the prophets of Baal. Full of praise. But then he needed to come down. And as he came down, so his spirit came down. How many times as we of Christians, you can't live on all the mountaintop experiences. It's good to be able to go away. It's good to be able to collect together in fellowship and to be together. But tomorrow, you won't be with this crowd. You might be the only Christian in your situation. You might be the only one who has got to stand for Christ. You might be the only one that somebody is looking towards for help and encouragement. Well, it's lovely to have our children once again in our midst today. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's been ill, but actually this week should have been David's second week in the Sunday school. but he's not here, but I'm grateful that Rosie has stepped into the breach. And Rosie is going to take the children out. So if the children would like to come to the front, and I think somebody's going to pray for you. Oh, you're looking very posh. Oh, I do like your... Oh, look at that. Don't you wish you had a pair of shoes like that?
I've got a pair.
You've got a pair, yeah. You've got a pair just like that.
Fluffy round the edges.
Oh, and yet you've got new shoes, yeah. Oh, lovely. And Hudson, yes, we can see yours. You've had your hair cut. Oh, dear me. You had it yesterday, yes. And it's nice to see Hudson here. You've not been well this week, have you? Did you go to hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to hospital. But he's feeling better now, are you?
Well.
Well, says Felicity. Okay. Oh, listen. Should you have Manchester United on? Yeah. All right. Okay, then. I used to live next to that. I used to go past Manchester United's ground when I went to work when I was, way back when. It's nice to see you with your cap on as well. Yeah. And who did you go and see yesterday?
I saw my niece.
You saw your niece. Yes, he's an uncle again. He's an uncle again. Did you get to hold her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is she nice?
Yeah.
Did she cry?
Only once.
Only once. Okay. But it's nice to see you. And eat, sleep, dance, repeat. Okay. Is that what you do? You eat, you sleep, you dance, and then you repeat. Yeah. So are you good at dancing?
I like the eat bit.
You... You don't want to do the dance?
No.
Well, it's nice to see you. Well, Paul's going to share a prayer over you before you go out.
Shall we just put our hands together? Okay? And we'll just stand quietly. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the gift of children. And especially today, we thank you for these precious ones who are here. Would you bless them? Because, Lord, they bless us so much. Bless them and keep them safe. And as they now go out to their activities, we pray for them and we pray for their leaders that they will learn more about your love for them and your love for us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. So... if you want to go up there, I think Rosie's there, ready to collect you. Go on, are you going? And I'm sure they'll have a fun time out there this morning. We'll see them at the end as they come back. And now we're going to listen to the message that the band have prepared for us. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Many are the things we cannot understand. And maybe we'll never understand God. The mysteries. All we just need to know that He is God. And God alone. He created us. He loves us. And He wants us to serve Him. In this, our generation. I'm just wondering now, I missed out a song, and I don't know whether it's appropriate now to sing it or not. I think it's okay. We'll turn to our song. It's song 992, which says, "Who is on the Lord's side?" We might never understand God, but we can be on His side. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him will go? If you want to be on the Lord's side, then stand and we'll sing the first two verses, please. Thank you. Shall we all outline this third verse before we sing the last? Thank you. Jesus, Thou hast bought us, not with gold or gem, but with Thine own lifeblood for Thy diadem. With Thy blessing filling, each who comes to Thee, Thou hast made us willing, Thou hast made us free. The last verse, please. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. Master, thou wilt keep us by thy grace divine. I'm not too sure that is how Elijah felt as he was under the tree. Always amazed me, I didn't actually read the thing, but in the actual Bible reading, it actually says he lived under, he went under a broom tree. Now, as a child, I used to envisage a tree with lots of brooms, brushes, because we used brooms up north. We have not a witch's broom, can I just say? Okay, and it always fascinated me that Elijah would go and sit under a broom tree. But obviously it's the type of tree, it's not got brooms hanging on it. But the question that he's asked, what are you doing here? You know, life is full of choices. What am I going to do with my life? For some of us, we've made our life choices. And sometimes we've made our choices, and sometimes we've maybe made the wrong choice or have changed our choice as we've gone in life. Our youngsters, as they go out to Sunday school there, they've got their whole life ahead of them, full of choices. We've got Freddie, you've chosen your exams and you've got another 10 to do yet. Yeah? Bless him. Just think of him. He's still got his exams to do. But again, choices. He had to choose what subjects to take in order to what exams he wanted to take. Maybe he might not have wanted, don't want those subjects now. You wish you'd chosen different subjects. Yeah, I'm sure you did. Yeah. But you know, should I take this job or should I do that? What's going to be on the horizon? And then we make a choice and we think, oh, you know, the grass looks a bit greener on the other side. I wish I'd gone that way and not this way. Life is a never-ending series of choices. Can we know whether we are making the right choices? Today, the world would say, look to the stars. What does your horoscope say? Or consult a medium. You know, they'll tell you what's going to happen in your life and how to control your life. But as Christians, we should seek the maker of the stars. As Christians, we need to be listening to God. What does God want us to do? Where does God want us to be? God wants to speak to us. And yes, you know that you can hear his voice. I often get a bit confused here because I sometimes think I'm not a one that hears God's voice. I don't think. But then God speaks through somebody else or he shows me something. But God wants to communicate with each and every one of us. And that's a two-way communication. Because you can't really have a relationship unless there is a true dialogue. How do we get to know a person? By communicating with them, by talking, and by listening. And it's the same with our relationship with God. He talks, we listen. We talk, and he listens. The only thing is, as I said right at the beginning, I'm one of those who wants to keep on talking and talking and talking and I forget to stop and listen. What does God want to say to me? What does he want to say to you? Well, God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to take our place and to die for us. He did this so that we could once again have fellowship with him. It's in the book of Hebrews, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus by a new and living way, we see that we can have access to God's very presence. The temple curtain was torn in two on that Friday. We're able to enter the very presence of God. He also wants us to be fulfilled, blessed, and successful in the plan that he has established for our lives, so that we can reflect his love and blessings in the earth. We see in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God communicated. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He communicated with them. He fellowshipped with them. And that's how God wants to relate to us today as well. It's God's desire to walk with and to communicate with his children, in fact. In Genesis 3, we have the first question in the Bible, and it's a question that God asks. He says in Genesis chapter 3, "Where are you?" He was looking for Adam and Eve, but they were hiding because they had eaten of the forbidden fruit and they were aware of their nakedness. They knew that there's something different about them and they were hiding from God. God still wants to talk to us. He wants us to listen and talk to him too. In our Bible reading today, we read of Elijah. Elijah is a man of deep devotion, unquestioning obedience and daring faith. But there comes that chapter describing the breakdown, humiliating failure and defeat for Elijah. He just won a victory. But now is this sad chapter. After defeating the prophets of Baal and showing them how God is far greater than all the other gods, we see him running away, frightened for his life. He was afraid because of a threat made by Jezebel, that she would destroy him. He runs into the wilderness and hides under a bush and wishes to die. There is a term that we use that says he'd come to the end of his tether. Do you feel exhausted? Do I feel exhausted, burnt out, frustrated that we can't simply see any way forward? Elijah laid down, fell asleep, and all at once an angel touched him. God had provided food. There's a song in the songbook which says, at the moment of our weakness, God provides his provision. God knows us inside and out. He knows when we're celebrating, but he also knows when we're struggling. And he wants to come alongside and to lift us up. And the angel came a second time and fed him again to build up his strength. For the angel told him he needed to travel 40 days to the mountain of God. He needed a journey. God provided in order that Elijah could make the journey. God wants to provide for you and me. He knows what the next 40 days is going to hold for you and me. He knows what we need. And he wants to supply us. There is good news. We can hear God's voice. You see, the Bible, God's love letter to mankind, makes it clear that we were created to have a two-way communication with him. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." God does speak to each and every one of us. But the most difficult part of hearing God is the fact that it takes time to learn to discern God's voice. Jeremiah 29 and verses 12 and 13 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." If we're struggling hearing God's voice, maybe this is the time, then you just need to be still. Be still. We can't make demands on Almighty God. We can't shake our fist at the sky and say, "All right, God, let me hear you." But we can ask, seek, and knock, and the Bible promises that God will open the door. God will reveal himself to those who humbly seek him. Have you ever gotten somewhere and forgotten how you got there? Strange, a few months ago, we were going somewhere, I can't remember now where we were going, and when we got to a certain place, I said to David, did you see this, no, didn't. The fact that he didn't see the traffic lights, luckily they were on green, and he'd gone through, but he hadn't seen the traffic lights. He was so intent on looking straight ahead, he'd forgotten, I've got to look a little bit around me. We do it all the time with daily routines. We go into autopilot mode for the most mundane tasks or daily excursions. So much so, sometimes, that we stop paying attention to what is happening until something out of the ordinary happens. Or better yet, have you gotten somewhere and forgotten why you're there? Maybe it's the shops, or you've even gone into the living room, or you've gone upstairs and you think, oh my goodness, what have I come upstairs for? You have to go back downstairs and think, right, what was I going upstairs for? Maybe it's a sign of ageing, or maybe it's just hormonal, I don't know. But it can also happen when we're stressed or tired or lack the capacity to retain information any longer. And I believe that this is what happened to Elijah. God had provided nourishment. God was with him as he journeyed. Yet when he got to the mountain, he went into the cave. And that's when God asks the question, what are you doing here? And Elijah replies by stating that he's the only prophet left. And they were trying to kill him. So God speaks again. Go out. Stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then we have that well-known narrative. The wind tore through the mountains. After the wind, there was a terrific earthquake. Then came the fire, but God was not in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. But then came the gentle. And as Elijah heard it, he went forward and stood at the mouth of the cave. And God asked that question again. What are you doing here? This surely should have changed Elijah's answer to the question, but it didn't. In verse 14, he repeats exactly what he'd said the first time God had asked him the question. Word for word. The difference, though, he has seen God anew and been reminded that God is not as small or weak or as absent or predictable as he had allowed himself to be while he was swallowed up in the darkness of despair. God wanted to talk to him. God wanted to reveal himself to him. The difference between the first time God asked the question and the next is that God has spoken to him. And the next thing God says can be summed up: go, I still have work for you to do, and you're not alone. You've heard my voice in the gentle whisper. Now go. Go and be the person I want you to be. And you know what? When you go, I'm also, and if you read through, it says, I'm even going to show you that the 7,000 other people who are still followers, they haven't turned to Baal. You are not alone. You may feel alone at this moment in time, but you're not alone. There are different voices that we can hear. Now that we know we can hear God's voice, we need to be alerted to the fact that there are other voices whispering in our ears. Yes, we can hear the voice of God. Actually, sometimes we can hear our own voice. So, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is where I'm going to go. This is what I'm going... God, this is what I'm going to do for you. But is that what God wants you to do? And then there's the voice of the devil. The greatest liar ever to be. He sometimes says, you don't need to do that. Don't listen. Don't do that. You know, you can do that tomorrow. But God has said he wants you to do this today. This is who he wants you to be today. Can't keep putting it off till tomorrow. Are you preparing for your eternal journey? Or are you putting it off? So God will speak and you can hear his voice. But you must be careful that you objectively confirm that you are following the Holy Spirit, God's voice and not another. Our own flesh can scream loud, especially when we're under pressure or we want something very badly. And as I say, the devil is the father of lies, the greatest deceiver. Perhaps this is the point. Perhaps the quiet comes so that we can remember that we're not on our own, but we are in the presence of the King of Kings. We don't just need to come here on a Sunday morning to be in his presence. Yes, this is his house. And we're here with other people. But God is with us. Whatever's going on in our lives, God is with us. So what is God trying to say to you? Where are you in your journey? Some may be on the mountaintop, be experiencing a wonderful, healthy relationship with God. Perhaps you've reached the end of your tether. You feel exhausted, burnt out, worn out. You may even be hiding away from God. Perhaps like Adam and Eve, you're aware of your sinfulness. Or like Elijah, you just don't know where to turn to. We are reminded in Scripture that Jesus goes off to a quiet place to pray. He takes himself away from the crowds, away from every distraction, and goes to a quiet place to pray. How more important then is it for us that we find that time to be still, to know that he is God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. There's a song in our songbook which says, do you sometimes feel that no one truly loves you and that no one understands or really cares? Through his people, God himself is close beside you, and through them he plans to answer all your prayers. Someone cares. If you're feeling at the end of your tether, if you're feeling under attack, then whilst you're among friends, amongst a fellowship, this is where you can gain strength. And the way is open to come and to kneel or to sit at the mercy seat. You see, ours is not a distant God, remote and feeling, who is careless of our loneliness and pain. Through the ministry of men and women and boys and girls, he gives his healing. In their dedicated hands brings hope again. We care, and God cares for you and wants to know that you are in his presence. Can we sing? That song appears on your sheet. I don't know if you've got that. You know that song? Do you sometimes? I don't know. It's on your sheet. pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are by our side. And Lord, if you're looking for someone here this morning, may we each be willing to open our ears and our hearts and listen to your voice. Maybe you're searching for them. Where are you? Or maybe you're saying, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? The Lord wants each and every one of us to serve him. He wants us to be his servants here and to serve him here in this community for such a time as this. Lord, help us to be open, to listen to your voice. And not just listen, but then to put it into action. Just like Elijah then returned, he went back. And he carried on service for the Lord. Yes, we need to sometimes come away and be quiet and hear. But then we need to put that into action. So we pray, Lord, that you will be with each of my friends and with me in these days as we continue to listen to your voice. Amen. 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 Thank you. Our final song. Come back, John. Sorry about that. Yeah. I'm glad you changed it down a bit. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Our final song is song number 79. Song number 79, which says, I know thee who thou art and what thy healing name. This whole song to me speaks of a journey because it starts off by saying, I saw the footprints on my road. The second verse goes on saying, acknowledging that you are on the road beside me now. And the third verse, beside thee as I walk, I will delight in sweet communion talk, getting closer. And then the final verse, let nothing draw me back or turn my heart from thee, but by the Calvary track, bring me at last to see the courts of God, that city fair, and find my name is written there. Shall we stand and we'll sing the song straight through, please? Thank you. Thank you. Amen. And may we find our name is written there, or as some people put it, and find that I'm expected there. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love to each and every one of us. And I pray now that as we continue in fellowship over a coffee or a tea, that you will be with us in our conversations. And Lord, help us to take time this week just to be in your presence. Amen. Amen. I think the children are, if you'd like to sit down, I think the children are going to come back in. Yes, they're coming back in. Yeah. Felicity is tiptoeing in. Hudson is running in. There we are. Yes. He's eager to come and show us what he's done. Yeah. Oh, what have you done?
I'm using a team.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, he's matched the baby animals with its parent. Wonderful. Excellent. What else have we got? What have we made here?
We made these because we had a story about a house and his son wanted loads of money and then he spent it all up again.
He spent it all, and then what happened when he spent all his money?
He came back to his father, and his father was like, "Welcome home, son."
Oh, so you've made a welcome home sign. Excellent. I don't know what he wants, but he wants his mummy. Never mind. I have got something here for each of you, though. We know that this week the Queen is celebrating 70 years. Well, we've got you these books, Do Great Things for God. Queen Elizabeth II is a Christian. She loves the Lord. She has a faith. And this book tells you all about how the Queen loves God and how she has served not only the country, but also served God. So I want to give you each one of these books. If I just explain, he's already got one from Explorers, because we gave them to Explorers. Okay, all right. So Ava, you haven't got one, and neither of you. There we are. Okay. And you've already got one, haven't you? Because you've got a smaller one. Did you get one of these? Yeah. All the toddlers got a one like this, which is Happy Land, the girl who grew up to be queen. But again, it also talks about the Queen's faith. Oh, go on. Yeah. He's not going to let me go. Well, I want to say thank you very much, and I'm glad that you're enjoying Sunday school. And I hope you have a lovely week this week, because you're off school now. Yes, don't look shocked, Catherine. Yes, got no school this week. No school. Yeah, okay then, right. Band, are you going to play us out, please? Thank you very much. Good morning, and God bless everybody.